Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Taking a look at the oil patch right now, we are seeing Brent crude futures pulling back just a little. It is down about 0.1%. WTI crude also down, but we have continued to see prices marching higher. And one analyst now says Brent crude is likely to hit $90 a barrel by the end of the year. Let's bring in the analyst himself, Damian Kerverling. He's Goldman Sachs head of energy within the commodities research team. Damian, it's good to have you back on the show today. We've seen the headlines, energy crisis. Are we in a crisis right now?
Hi, Kiko. So if you look at the power market, it appears we are facing a winter with structurally low supply. So, we haven't run out yet. But there is a risk that if winter is cold, we truly have a crisis. Now, that's true for power. It's less the case for oil today, but the oil market is now in its longest deficit on record. And by the end of this year, we'll start to face low inventories. And I think that's the biggest takeaway is this energy underinvestment is a global phenomenon, right? It's in coal, it's in gas, it's in oil, despite demand recovering strongly. So, there is a common thread here. Although the most acute shortages today are likely coal, then gas, oil coming third.
We'll get to that in just a bit, but on oil specifically, what do the supply-demand dynamics look like, and how do you see us getting to $90 a barrel or even higher potentially by the end of the year?
So if you go back to the summer, we were worried about Iran coming back, OPEC ramping up, the Delta variant. 2 months later now, Iran's not back, OPEC is slow to ramp up, and the Delta variant has faded and oil demand is at its post-COVID highs. And that's the key setup into winter. We've been in deficit since June of last year. Excess inventories are normalized and production still is below demand. And so as we think about year end, the catalyst for higher prices will be this continued deficit, demand remaining above supply, OPEC only gradually ramping up, and other countries just not investing enough either to ramp up output. So, Brent prices are now $83, $84. And as we look forward, we expect another move higher into the end of this year to $90. Now, because of the level of the deficit, right? So demand exceeding supply and the duration of that deficit, which is now a record long, the key risk is, by early next year, do we actually manage to balance this market? If not, then the risk to our $90 Brent forecast would actually be to the upside.
Yeah, I mean, how much of this could you say is transitory? Many ways we were expecting to see some of this pent-up demand coming out of the height of the pandemic, and there's concerns about whether in fact things weren't necessarily planned out right. But you said that there could be a real structural change that we're seeing here that seems to suggest that we're going to see higher oil for longer.
Yeah, that's a key point, Kiko. If you look at the setup today, one could argue it's cyclical, right? It's the run-up in demand normalizing to pre-COVID level in the face of a slower ramp-up in supply. But when you actually look at the supply side, you see that this underinvestment is actually years in the making. It didn't start with COVID. If you look at the last 5 years, oil and gas producers broadly destroyed their investors' capital. And so, investors are just not interested in investing in that space. When you then overlay an ESG framework to investment, another reason not to be investing in these companies. And so now the threshold from the commodity price perspective to get those producers to ramp up is materially higher. And that's the data we're seeing today. When you look across the world, whether it's shale ramping up only slowly, whether it's long cycle projects around the world not ramping up at all, you can see how this cyclical tightness is actually reflective of structural underinvestment. And so in our forecast, we need materially higher prices. And that's probably the most differentiated view we hold. Our $85 Brent forecast in 2023 is $20 above consensus, because we're arguing that there is no quick fix here and supply is not going to surge higher over the next 6 and 12 months. And if Iran doesn't come back, the risk to that 85 is squarely to the upside. So I think that's the structural point. And I'd say coal is probably your case study, right? Everybody expected coal demand to fall. Coal demand has fallen, but the underinvestment on the supply side has been larger and faster. So now we have record high coal prices, despite, you know, still structurally declining demand, because of the supply underinvestment. And so I think that's the key lesson we have to take from this power crisis this winter is, look, the same can happen to oil, and oil matters to, you know, most people. It's 30% of disposable spending in the US, for example. So, you know, that's the key, I think, is this is not just a short-term winter 21-22 story. This is actually a multi-year risk.
Damien, to what extent do you think the supply crunch we're seeing in energy right now complicates this transition to renewables? I mean, you were saying in the break that so much of energy is about substitution. If you think of something like natural gas, for example, that was supposed to be sort of that bridge fuel that allowed a lot of suppliers to get to full renewable. And yet we're talking about record low inventories on that front, too.
Yeah, so, you know, there are two key points here. You know, the first one is from a kind of investor policy perspective, the recent trend has been to demonize hydrocarbon supply. So saying, hey, you got to stop investing in supply and that will solve the climate crisis. Well, we consume those hydrocarbons every day. We're not ramping up renewable and storage quickly enough to get rid of them today. And so I think that's probably going to be the first main takeaway from this energy crisis this winter is, you know, focusing on the demand side, how do you solve the transition demand-wise rather than just saying, hey, you know, let's just get rid of supply? And the second point that will become evident is energy is all about substitution. You know, if you think about power, you can get renewable, you can get coal, you can get gas, you can even get oil as we're testing today. And so if you underinvest in one coal, the most apparent one for the last years, then you actually create a shock across the complex. And so that's, again, points to that focus on demand. You know, pushing for renewable is great, and they are the long-term solution. But in isolation and without taking into context that overall energy substitution nature, you are end up always creating a shortage and misallocation of capital.
We appreciate you joining us today to provide some of that context. Damien Corvellin, Goldman Sachs, head of energy within the commodities research team. Good to have you on today.